ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। दुर्वास शरणं जाता सर्वं कैलाशवासिनम्। When Durvasa, who was greatly afflicted by the blazing fire of the Sudarshan Chakra, was thus refused by Lord Brahma, he tried to take shelter of Lord Shiva, who always resides on his planet known as Kailash. Sri Shankar Uvacha, Vayam natata prabhavam abhumni yasmin parinye pyaja jiva kosha bhavanti kalena bhavanti hidrisha sahasra so yatra vayam brahma maha. Lord Shiva said, "My dear son, I, Lord Brahma, and the other demigods who rotate within this universe under the misconception of our greatness cannot exhibit any power to compete with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For innumerable universes and their inhabitants come into existence and are annihilated by the simple direction of the Lord." Purport. There are innumerable universes in the material world. And there are innumerable Lord Brahmas, Lord Shivas, and other demigods. All of them rotate within this material world under the supreme direction of the Personality of Godhead. Therefore, no one is able to compete with the strength of the Lord. Lord Shiva also refused to protect Durvasa, for Lord Shiva also was under the rays of the Sudarshan Chakra sent by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Aham Sanat Kumaras Cha Narado Bhagavan Jaha Kapilo Pantaratma Atamo Devalo Dharma Asuri Marichi Pramukas Chanye Siddhesha Paradarshanaha Vidamana Vayam Sarve Yanmayam Mayayavrita Tasya Vishveshareshyedam Shastram Durvisaham Hina Tham Evam Sharanam Yahi Haristesham Vidhashate. Past, present, and future are known to me, Lord Shiva, Sanat Kumar, Narada, the most revered Lord Brahma, Kapila, the son of Devahuti, Apantaratmana, Lord Vyasadeva, Devala, Yamaraj, Asuri, Marichi, and many saintly persons headed by him, as well as many others who have achieved perfection. Nonetheless, because we are covered by the illusory energy of the Lord, we cannot understand how expansive that illusory energy is. You should simply approach that Supreme Personality of Godhead to get relief, for his Sudarshan Chakra is intolerable even to us. Go to Lord Vishnu. He will certainly be kind enough to bestow all good fortune upon you. Durvas Muni's search for shelter from his imminent destruction, which is coming in the form of the Lord Sudarshan Chakra, is here being explained. Durvas Muni, with all of his great mystic power, with all of his influence over others' lives, is finding himself in a helpless condition, the same helpless condition ultimately all of us find ourselves in before the supreme power of God. Here we see that the Sudarshan Chakra, the formidable weapon of Lord Narayan, is causing great fear into his life. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains in the form of time, in the same way he is constantly chasing behind everyone. In the form of time, Krishna is right behind us at every stage of our life. Slowly but surely, is bringing our bodily condition to destruction. So in the same way, Durvasa Muni, in the form of the Sudarshan Chakra, is being chased, is being constantly sought after by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And just as Durvasa Muni, although the greatest of all mystics and jnanis in all the world, before the supreme power of God, he is helpless. Just as we, however influential and however powerful we may become in this world, the chakra of time is always right behind us, and we are similarly in a completely helpless position. So Durvasa Muni is trying to take shelter of the greatest of all personalities in all the world. And they are all explaining the same thing, that if you want to get the shelter of Lord Narayan, you must approach him. But Lord Narayan, as we are about to see, he explains that if you want to get my shelter, you must get the shelter of my devotee. You must fall at the feet of my devotee. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada yasya prasada nagati kutayopi. If you please my devotee, then you have all my pleasure. But as you can see, Durvasa, if you displease my devotee, all you have in your life is my wrath. And there is no escape from my wrath. And even the most powerful living beings in all the universe cannot protect you from my wrath. Even I cannot protect you from my wrath until you again get the blessings and give pleasure to my devotee. So the glory of all of these great personalities, all of these great personalities whom Durvasa is seeking shelter, is that they are all directing him to Krishna. Because they understand that their existence is never separate from Krishna. A bona fide spiritual master is never one who claims that I am God, surrender to me. But a bona fide spiritual master is one who claims that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna is God, surrender to him. One who requests or orders us to surrender to him cannot truly give us shelter from the all-powerful, devouring force of time, which perpetuates the repetition of birth and death. But the bona fide guru, the bona fide sadhu, the true saintly person, simply directs us to Krishna, or to God, the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada would often tell us that his divine grace, we are not speaking of the divine grace of the spiritual master. We are speaking of his divine grace, which means Krishna's divine grace. His divine grace means the divine grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the spiritual master simply being an instrument, a purified instrument. Through him, the divine grace of God is coming through. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, on that famous poem and lecture that he gave on the anniversary of the appearance of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he explains that Guru is one, Although he has a multitude of manifestations within this world. Because Guru is God. And anyone who is purely repeating the word of God, anyone who is directing us toward God, toward surrender to God, he is bona fide Guru. In fact, sometimes the great acharyas, they answer the question, who is a bona fide Guru? He said, one who repeats the message of Krishna. Krishna says, sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam braja. Abandon all varieties of religion, just surrender to me. The bona fide guru is one who tells you to abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to the Supreme Lord, or Krishna. But one who wants to take a high position, one who does not direct your consciousness to Krishna, such a person is not qualified to save you from the great burning fire of material existence. After all, what does the bona fide spiritual master teach us? To chant the name of God. We chant his name, but when we chant his name, we do that to please Krishna, yes, but we must also follow the first and foremost instruction of the spiritual master, which is to chant Krishna's name. Just like one time a devotee asked Prabhupada, since pleasing Krishna is best by pleasing the spiritual master, why do we chant Hare Krishna? Why don't we just chant Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada on our japa beads? He said, this is mental concoction, because you must understand that the spiritual master's only business is to teach you how to glorify Krishna and how to love Krishna. So they must both go simultaneously. This is how the authorized acharyas are teaching us, that we must offer all respect and glory to our guru, but we must glorify him most by following his instruction, which is to always chant the name of Krishna. So here we find Lord Shiva. He is being approached by Durvas Muni. It is said about Lord Shiva, Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. He is the greatest, the supreme of all Vaishnavas. Because although Lord Shiva is sometimes addressed as Bhagavan, which means he has super excellent powers which cannot be conceived by the human brain, he is practically all the powers of God himself. But it is explained he is in the role of God's devotee. And therefore, with all his power, with all his strength, with all his grandeur, he is very honestly and truthfully, truly taking the position of the guru of Durvas Muni, in the sense that he is telling him, you must take shelter of Krishna. This is guru who teaches you how to take shelter of Krishna. And therefore, we accept Lord Shiva as the Param Vaishnava. Because through his mercy, through his grace, through his blessings, we can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. There is a beautiful story of the supreme humility of Lord Shiva. At one time, this is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam 9th canto. I'm sorry, 8th canto. At one time, when the demigods and the demons were churning the ocean of milk, there was a elixir-like nectar that came out of that ocean. It was a nectar which would give great strength and great longevity to whoever drank it. And somehow or other the demons caught hold of this nectar. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead incarnated as Mohini Murti. And she was the most beautiful, beautiful woman that has ever been seen. The Supreme Lord himself took the form of the most incredibly beautiful woman just to intoxicate the minds of those who were attached to sense gratification. And she went to the demons, and they all wanted her as the wife. And she said, oh, and they were willing to do anything for her. So she said, well, give me the nectar. So although they were fighting over it like anything, they gave to her. And then she just went over and poured it in the mouth of all of the devotees, the demigods. And the asuras, they were so afraid that she might think something bad of them that they just did not speak up or say anything. And then right in front of everybody, she transformed into her Vishnu form and went back to Vaikuntha. Then the demons knew that they were cheated. So Lord Shiva, it is explained, he approached in the presence of his wife Parvati. He approached Lord Narayan and said, this wonderful form of Mohini Murti, I have heard about her, but I have not been able, I did not get to see her. I would like to see such a beautiful form that you have incarnated in. And Lord Narayan said, you sure you want to see this form? He said, yes, I'm very sure. I really want to see this form. So then Lord Narayan, he said, all right. Then Lord Narayan left. And a few moments later, from the corner of Lord Shiva's eyes, he saw this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful lady playing with the ball in the forest. And although he was standing just next to his own wife, Parvati, he completely lost all control of his senses and mind and left his own disciples and started chasing after her. And she started running away very nicely. And he was chasing, and the more he was looking and thinking of her, the more he was very much intoxicated by her appearance. And what she did is just to make everything as extreme as possible. She ran right through an ashram, a hermitage, of his own great sages and saints in the renounced order of life who were his disciples. And they were all performing tapasya, performing sacrifices, chanting his names. And then all of a sudden, this beautiful young lady comes running through. And they're thinking, my God, we're not supposed to be in such an atmosphere as this. And then they saw their worshipable guru and God chasing after her. And they were saying, what are you doing? Stop. But he did not hear their words. He was too absorbed in the process of running for her. So it was a complete embarrassment by all material calculations. And of course, it's a beautiful story. But ultimately, when he finally touched her, he became so intoxicated by that he lost his energy, and then he became a little sober again. And then she disappeared. And then Lord Narayan appeared again, and he said, so, Lord Shiva, how did you like seeing my form as Mohini Murti? Now, try to understand that he had just, in front of his own wife, just left her to run after a young woman. Parvati, who's most chaste, most faithful, supreme wife, right in front of all of the sadhus, yogis, and his own disciples. They were all pleading with him, stop doing this. What are you doing? You're going to hurt our faith. He didn't care. After all this, you would think, after he finally came to his senses and he realized that Krishna did this to him, you would think he would be embarrassed. He would think he would be ashamed. But no, he wasn't the slightest bit ashamed, not the slightest bit embarrassed. He was proud. He was proud that just see how great Krishna is. He can do this to me. This is the greatness and glory of Krishna. If Krishna wants to put me in total illusion, then that is Krishna's divine power. I'm proud of him for that. He is the greatest.
So his understanding, his subordination to the supreme position of Krishna made him very happy. He was not embarrassed. He was not ashamed. He was ecstatic. He was enlivened that Krishna is so great that look what he could do even to the greatest of personalities such as myself. one of the controllers of the whole universe, look at what he can do. Make me like a little dancing puppet. How great is my Krishna? How much I love my Krishna. So you see, Lord Shiva, we can understand through this pastime that he takes no credit for himself. He is simply the pure, unalloyed servant of the Supreme Absolute Truth. In fact, it is explained in the Brahma Samhita that Lord Shiva is none other than Vishnu himself. They are one and the same. But for the sake of guiding those who are in the Tamaguna and accepting the lordship over the Tamaguna, Lord Vishnu himself accepts a tinge of Tamaguna in his own personality and thus becomes Lord Shiva. Just like milk, when it is given a culture, it turns into the yogurt or the dahi. And milk and dahi is nothing but the same thing, but still they are different. So therefore, Lord Vishnu is eternally different in the form of Lord Shiva, although he is in essence the same. But in this role as Lord Shiva, he is always in the role of a demigod who is a servant, the agent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is in the role of a Vaishnava. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. And of course, we read in the scriptures how important it is for devotees to gain the mercy of Lord Shiva because of his dearmost position to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan. And therefore, in the sampradaya of Lord Ramchandra, before approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, one must first get the blessings of Hanumanji. Hanuman is incarnation or expansion. He is a son of Lord Shankar or Shiva. So this is the very, very exalted position. And here he is exhibiting how exalted his position is by taking the position of a real guru. By giving the highest, purest knowledge to Durvas Muni. What is that? Surrender to Krishna. Surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the only hope to gain refuge from the all-devouring miseries of this material world. You see, Daivi he shuguna mayi mama maya duratyaya mama vame papajanti maya me tadaranti te. It is explained that this divine energy of mine is very difficult to overcome, but one who takes shelter of me can easily cross beyond it. So we are all constantly being harassed by the divine energy of the Lord in the form of so many difficulties in this world. Adiyatmaka, adibhaik, bhotaka, adidaivaka. In the same way that Durvas Muni was being harassed by the Sudarshan Chakra. And therefore here we find that the great, great gurus, the great, great acharyas, and the greatest of all the demigods, Lord Shiva, they are always teaching us the way to become free from this very, very difficult to overcome energy of the Lord. Krishna says, but those who take shelter of me can easily cross beyond it. So the spiritual master repeats, those who take shelter of Krishna can easily overcome it.
And Lord Shiva, as great guru, he is also saying, Durvas, take shelter of Krishna and you can easily overcome it. And how to approach the spiritual master. Yesterday was the disappearance day of Srila Ishwarapuri, who was the very spiritual master of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one may ask, what was the qualification of Ishwarapuri to take the position of the Guru of God himself? And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is explained what his qualification was. It was not based on any sort of great mystic power that he had, or any vast form of learning that he had. Although he was most learned, that was not his qualification. But his spiritual master, Madhavendrapuri, that great, great devotee of Lord Krishna, Ishwarapuri accepted the most humble menial position of his servant, carrying out his order in all respects throughout his life. To the extent that is explained that Srila Ishwarapuri, when his spiritual master was very old and in an invalided condition, he could not walk, he could hardly move. Because after all, whether you are a great saint or whether you are a great sinner, you have a material body. And the material must grow old, the material body must grow old, must get diseased, must die. That is why Srila Rupa Goswami explains in the Upadeshamrita that you should never, never judge a sadhu by his physical condition of life. Even if he's most sickly, even if he's diseased, even if he's deformed, you should never, ever consider that this has anything to do with his spiritual advancement. You must see the quality of his consciousness, the quality of his devotion. That is all that is concerned. So Madhavendrapuri, who was greatest spiritual master, he was in such an invalided condition that he was simply laying in his bed. He could not move. And Ishwarapuri was bathing him with his own hands, day and night, giving up his sleep, practically giving up his eating, simply to tend to whatever need his spiritual master had. And when his spiritual master would pass stool and urine, Ishwarapuri, with great, great attention and most loving care, he would clean it with his own hands, day after day after day, never thinking anything negative in his mind, but only thinking that my Guru Maharaj and Krishna are so kind that they are allowing me this most menial and most humble service. He was always grateful. In this way, his steadiness, his devotion, and his willing to accept the menialest, the most menial, the most insignificant position of cleaning the stool and urine of his guru, it won the heart of his spiritual master. Even in that position, the spiritual master's blessings are no less powerful. The supreme blessing of God was still coming through him. And meanwhile, Ishwarapuri was constantly chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And his Guru Maharaj, in this condition of great physical pain and difficulty, he was simply in the ecstasy of love of God, crying out for Krishna. And Ishwarapuri was satisfying his heart to this extreme extent by constantly discussing the pastimes of Krishna and constantly chanting his holy names.
Just like when Srila Prabhupada went to Vrindavan to leave his body, the devotees asked, what is the greatest service we can offer you? Of course, he said, you can show your love for me by how you cooperate to fulfill my instructions of assisting me in my guru's mission, to alleviate the suffering of humanity by spreading the mercy of God everywhere, by spreading the holy name.
But then they asked, but what about your own self? How can we best help you?
He said, just chant Hare Krishna. The best way is just chant Hare Krishna. Just let me hear the name of Krishna. So day and night, there was 24 hours, devotees were having kirtan and bhajans. And sometimes when devotees would go into too many fancy tunes and too many fancy, Prabhupada would say, just chant Hare Krishna. And in this way, Prabhupada, when he was about to leave, he said, call all the devotees together, give them a chance to simply cry out the name of Krishna and let me hear that vibration. So in the same way as Madhavendra Puri, he was so pleased by Ishwara Puri because he was simply moment after moment, day and night, giving up all sleeping and eating just to constantly allow his guru to hear the holy name of Krishna. Of course, the spiritual master, such a great soul as Madhavendra Puri, he is always thinking of Krishna. The sound of his name is constantly vibrating from within his heart in all conditions of life. But the pleasure that he derived from Ishwara Puri's service was really for the benefit of his disciple. He was pleased to see how his disciple was so anxious to chant the holy name of Krishna for the pleasure of the Guru. So in this way, Madhavendra Puri, seeing the completely humble, selfless desire of his disciple, the totally prideless approach to serving Guru, he gave his most intimate supreme blessings to Ishwara Puri. And through those blessings alone, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, decided to accept Ishwara Puri as his own beloved spiritual master. Although Madhavendra Puri had many, many very stalwart, powerful, and great disciples, such as Brahmananda Bharati, Paramananda Puri, Advaitacharya, Nityananda Prabhu, and many, many others, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially chose Ishwara Puri because he received this special benediction and blessing from his Guru Maharaj, which was based on his utter humility and prideless service to his spiritual master. So it is through developing this approach to our spiritual master that we can truly gain his blessings. And by the blessings of the spiritual master, one attains the supreme blessings of God Himself. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagati kutopi. By pleasing Guru and receiving His blessings, then we purchase the heart of Krishna. But without the blessings of the great souls, we cannot attain the blessings of Krishna. So here, Durvas Muni, he's approaching Lord Shiva, and he's getting Lord Shiva's blessings. My blessings are, go to Krishna. Remember Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna. Take shelter of Krishna. And by the blessings of these great souls, he attains Krishna. By the mercy of Krishna, one gets Guru. And Krishna is going to direct Durvas Muni back to Ambarish Maharaj. We should always remember that this story gives us many messages, but one of the clearest and most important messages is this, that we should be very, very careful never to offend the great devotees of the Lord. We should never, never, ever even dream of offending of a devotee of the Lord. Because in the offense to the Lord's devotee, the Lord withdraws his mercy. and therefore we must be very, very careful. One who offends the devotee of the Lord, he may have a superficial position in this world, but the seed of love of God cannot grow in that person's heart until he is forgiven. Of course, the devotee is willing to forgive at every moment, but the Lord must be willing to see that that devotee is willing to be forgiven. Ambarish never took offense, but God did. And until Durvas Muni was begging for forgiveness, the Lord was not satisfied with his life or his service. So these are some of the great lessons of this beautiful story. And it is very auspicious that on the day of Mahashivaratri, we happen to just by the supreme arrangement of Godhead, we just happen to be on the verse where Durvas Muni is approaching the great Lord Shiva, and we are allowed to see Lord Shankar's divine quality of always directing all living beings to the feet of Narayan. Is there any questions? Yes? Very important, because Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee. The Lord worships the feet of his devotee. Just to show us how worshipable the feet of his devotee is. In Krishna Lila also, Krishna was worshipping Sudama Vipra and washing his feet. He put his devotee on his own throne. Rukmini was fanning him with the chamara fan. And Krishna himself was not only washing his feet, but offering him edibles and offering prayers to him. Because the love of his devotee is so great that the Lord is always the worshipper of his devotee. And Lord Shiva is greatest of all devotees. Because of his pure love, he is worshipped even by God himself. Rameshwar is the name of Shiva, which means he's the Lord of Ram. But it also means that Ram is his Lord. Similarly, Lord Shiva in Vrindavan is known as Gopeshwar, which means he's. What does Gopeshwar mean, literally? That's Lord Shiva. So you see, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramchandra, was exhibiting one of the most beautiful, priceless messages by showing that he himself is so purchased by the love of his devotee that he humbly worships the feet of his devotee. Is there any other questions? Yes.
Shiva is one of the very greatest devotees, and even Lord Krishna also used to worship him. And why is it so that on a Shivratri day, disciples of Shiva as well as Shiva also instructs that you have to take bhang, means intoxication?
This is not his instruction. This is the instruction of those who like to take bhang. It is said that Lord Shiva, for the sake of elevating those in Tamaguna, he allows them to engage in activities in Tamaguna just to gradually elevate themselves by keeping him in the center. Because anyone who thinks of him in any way will become purified. So he has taken the thankless task of being the worshipable God for those who are in the modes of ignorance, like the ghosts and the hobgoblins. He is always surrounded by such beings, if you read in the Shastras. Because what is the hope of such person's salvation unless someone's willing to come down to their level and just gradually uplift them? So by putting faith in this great supreme personality of Godhead, because in one sense he is like the supreme personality of Godhead in the form of a servant, in this way they are gradually elevated. But in order to gain the faith of such souls, he has to behave more in the mode of ignorance than them. Because a person respects, just like it is said in Bhagavatam, that men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses respect people who are like bigger dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. One who is in the mode of ignorance will respect someone who is even more in the mode of ignorance. So Lord Shiva, he has snakes around him, he covers himself with crematorium ashes. He behaves like one in the mode of ignorance, externally. But internally, he's simply doing this for the sake of uplifting these fallen souls. He's actually the purest, highest devotee of the Lord. But in the Shastra it says that Lord Shiva drank poison. If you can drink poison, then you can imitate him. But if you're not able to imitate him in every respect, you should simply follow his instructions. So Lord Shiva is not telling his devotees to smoke the bhang, but because he does it, they try to imitate him. Krishna also danced with gopis, but that does not mean we should start looking for gopis to dance with. We should follow his instruction. So great souls we should never imitate. We should follow in their footsteps by following their instructions. You see, there are those Shivites who do like this, but there are also Vaishnavas who have Rasalila. Are there not? They are both misguided in the sense that they are trying to imitate the great souls, but not follow in their footsteps. Any other questions? So Devamrita.